Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Woodward Fail Music Speaks Podcast. I'm your professional head cat host, James Cox, and here we talk about how music helps with depression and or anxiety, and I have another great guest for you today, Miss Craig Parks. Well, let me tell you about him first. He is a musician who has a son who has autism. Am I correct?
That is correct,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, sir. And he aims to bring joy, peace, connection, bonding, and lifetimes of memories with music. Craig, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, James. How are you?
Great. So before we started recording, I learned that you live in San Diego, California. And I asked you about the fires, and you said you're all good, everything's good. So we're glad you're doing okay, brother.
Thank you. Appreciate that, James.
Yeah, because I know it can get rough, and I know I heard on the radio they're doing some kind of a TV show, and everything is going towards the victims of the fires, you know, with music. So that'd be a real good thing, you know.
Yeah, there's a number of artists who are, I think, are putting on shows to help with
a lot
that.
Of big name artists. So hope to God that, you know, that this does some really good stuff, you know, for them. And nothing can get you through the dark times like music, you know, and you know that as well as I do.
Oh,
you
know? Yeah. Music's a powerful force.
Yeah. Speaking of music, so let's learn about you. What is your favorite genre of music to this day? Because I know, so for everybody out there listening, Craig does children's music, you know? But I know that some like, I know country stars like a lot, like their favorite genre of music is not country. You know, it varies. So what's yours, my friend?
Yeah, so I love a whole range. So in addition to being a children's music musician, I'm also in a band that plays funk and rock and soul and blues. So I love all that stuff too. I mean, plugging in an electric guitar and just going and rocking out is so fun.
There you go. And what's your favorite guitar maker ever? Because I have a because I just bought a PRS for like $400. I know it's a lot worse than that, a lot more than that. But I'm trying to pick it back up and play the guitar still. So is there any guitar that's not like a supreme being that you will not play? Otherwise, you know?
Yeah. So, for my electrics, I got a few nice ones, but I've got a Fender Custom Shop Tele Junior with P90 pickups that it sounds so sweet. And I've had it for about probably over 25 years. I love that guitar.
Yeah. And we still have that guitar?
Oh yeah. I still gig out. I gig out with that guitar all the time.
Because my first, I don't know if you heard this brand, because you ever heard of Synsonic guitars?
No.
Synsonic, I think. That was my first guitar. That was my first one, maybe. And I don't know how this happened, but the input jack fell inside the guitar. And it's like, son of a gun. So I just sold it I should have kept it, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure your PRS guitar will be a lot kinder to you.
Much better instead of a lot cleaner, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have a PRS guitar too. I've got a Heritage 535 semi-hollow body. I've got a lot of guitars. And then for my acoustic, I have a Taylor 814 CE.
Right.
We're geeking out on guitars now.
It's great because I love guitars. And I know you do too. That's why I'm asking you. So going back to your various music genres and playing with bands, can you elaborate on what was your favorite band that you played with, or like, you know, how did you become a musician? Because a lot of people say that they grew up with it, you know, and they wanted to be it. So I just wanted to hear your side of your story.
Yeah, well, totally. In fact, you know, I just put out a course for parents to help them on the parenting journey with music, because when I was looking back on my own childhood, to get back to your question, like, I realized how powerful music was for me growing up. I mean, my parents exposed me to, you know, the Beatles and the Who and, you know, Elton John and Billy Joel and Stevie Wonder. And I just lit up when I was a little kid around all of that stuff. And then they finally got me piano lessons. That was my first instrument, was piano, around the age of 10. And I had a great teacher. You know, my teacher's first question to me was, who's your favorite artist? And I'm like, Paul Simon. And
the next
week, she turns up with Paul Simon Complete Songbook. So I'm learning how to read music, play chords to songs that I just loved. So I was super motivated. And then I was about 17 when I started guitar. And guitar, I love both those instruments. I love playing.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that you're piano teacher was it? Yeah, I'm so glad that she taught you what you wanted to play, you know, because I remember back in the day when this is probably why I never really stuck with music, is because I'm playing guitar, because they were going to teach me what they wanted to teach me. I'm like, you can't do that, you know, you gotta make it fun, dude, you know, come on now.
Yeah, there's so many people who have stories where they had terrible teachers who were like, no, play the scale this way or that way. And it just beat the joy out of it. And they just never continued. And so I learned a lot, and I teach music as well, and I'm like, I'm all about making sure that's fun and motivating and connecting to people's, you know, passion and soul. So like, you know, whatever they love, like, cool, let's, you can learn chords in a lot of different ways, but why not learn music or whatever it is through the songs that you're motivated to play?
Yeah, exactly. Like, because if you can't get a child or a human being interested in what they want to play, they're not going to ever play it again, you know?
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So the book you were just talking about, that is called Dancing on Daddy's Shoulders. Is that correct?
So that's a song that I wrote.
Okay.
Yeah, so the course that I did, it's called Parenting A to E.
Yes.
From stress to smiles, yes. And turning the mundane into the memorable. And when you think about memories, powerful memories, think about your musical memories. Like, music is such a powerful memory maker, yeah. Right? I remember my childhood, and like, my dad worked all the time. I didn't see him much because he was working so hard. But one of the memories I do have with him was him hoisting me up on his shoulders and dancing around to all this great music. And so that's what inspired me to write the song Dancing on Daddy's Shoulders for my own kids. And I know, and it's catchy, it's fun. And so this course I made is both mindfulness, the parenting A to E. The A stands for affect. So the affect is the physical manifestations of our body and our voice. So it's like the emotions that we feel. And then E is for the effect. If we want to be effective in having a really sweet, loving connection with our kids, we have to master our body and our voice. And then the second module of my course is these 14 songs, because music is such a powerful way to create these memories. So, you know, we could take our kids to Disneyland. They'll remember that one day, right?
Yeah.
But James, let's face it. Most of parenting is waking them up, making sure they're taking a bath, make sure they're eating, making sure they go to sleep at night. Like, and it, so I wrote all these songs for those things. Yeah. So that when parents are singing, when their kids are washing their hands, taking a bath, putting down a lullaby.
I did hear the song. I think it was washing your hands or
the hand washing.
Like, yeah. And that's like about, but then that's too. I'm like, oh no, this is great. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, it's got a rocking little groove to it.
Yeah, it's catchy as hell. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so you know, if parents are going to sing that with their kids every time their little kids are washing their hands, all of a sudden hand washing becomes a fun thing. It becomes a connecting thing. And so music elevates things, makes things, you know, I know your show's about, you know, music and, you know, depression, anxiety. Yeah. Well, music lifts things up. And the more we can bring music into our life, the more joy and connection we're going to have.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting you say that about music memories too, because let's say the parenting is boring, you know, for the most part, you know. I mean, some parts can be fun, you know, but the most fun thing that I experienced with my mom and dad is music, you know. Because I remember going with my mom to the South Carolina State Fair, and we saw Jennifer Nettles, you know, and I will never forget that day, ever, you know. So that's a memory that will always be stuck in my head, and that is Jennifer Nettles' music, you know, the musician, and that'll never part from me ever, you know.
You know? That's a beautiful example, right, of just the power of music to, like, cement these memories. And so if you're a parent who cares about how your kid is going to look back on their childhood, here's this incredible tool called music. And that's why I wanted to create the course, because I've written all these songs. I've used, you know, I've run summer camps for over a quarter of a century, and I have my own two kids. And even with my son, who was on the autism spectrum, you know, he didn't talk until past the age of two, but he was singing before he was talking.
And really?
Yeah. Yes. The first thing I remember, I hear him go from his crib. He's like, hmm, 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 hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's a melody.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he got his first drum set, James, when he was 3 years old. He sits down at this little toy drum set, and he's like, boom, pop, doom, doom. I'm like, oh my God, he's playing a beat.
Right.
And
which is rare, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And he's an incredible drummer. So You know, it's one of the great ways that my son and I connect. He's also, he's really good DJ. So music has been such an important way for my son and I to be able to connect and for him to connect with other people. So yeah. it's been really beautiful. Nice. In fact, if anybody wants to check it out, years ago, I created this little thing called Parks and Pals on YouTube. So it's my son and I playing music with a bunch of my professional musician friends. And we're doing a number one hit song from, I think we went from 1958 to like 1963 or 1964. And you can see my boy like playing drums this is back when he was probably around, I don't know, 14, 15 years old.
Right, right. Have you heard of Twinkle Twinkle Little Rock Star?
What's that?
Okay, so you should introduce this to your son. It's music made today, made children style, you know. So you got Tool songs, Johnny Cash song, right? It's as stupid as anything, but it works, you know. And I guess like you can introduce your children at little ages to be able to experience this kind of music without all that screaming and, you know, and everything. It has like country music, rap music, you know, Post Malone and everything, you know?
So yeah, I remember when my boy was super young, there was like Lullaby Beatles. They took all of these Beatle tunes and they turned them all into lullabies. So it was like when at bedtime you could just put it on and it would chill him out. And it was these beautiful Beatles melodies. Yeah. So that's a cool thing. Yeah. I mean, again, music is just, the power of it's incredible.
So is it safe to say that your son is going to be a bigger rock star one day with the drums? Because I love drummers, you know, I love drummers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in my eyes, he already is a big rock star.
But I guess he's going to take up this mantle of being following his dad's footsteps, being a musician.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. He's also really into skateboarding. So like lately, he's been, it's funny, you know, he teaches skateboarding to kids, but whatever skate park he goes to, James, he always brings a big speaker and he's always playing music. So in the skate community here in San Diego, my son is kind of known as like the DJ. he's always pumping the tunes at the skate park, whichever skate park he goes to. So yeah, it turns out when he was five, I figured out that he has perfect pitch. So
not many people can do that now.
Right. So he does. He's got perfect pitch.
I'm so jealous of your son. I want him to come on and teach me perfect pitch because that's a unique mindset. You know, I mean, if I can just drop something like if I drop this and like, oh wait, that's a C minus. I'm like, no, wait, what? You know?
Or yeah. Like, whatever. It's not teachable. Yeah. I mean, you could teach relative pitch, but perfect pitch, like you got it or you don't.
No, yeah, there's I forgot his name, but there's like two or three famous musicians now that can do. Charlie Puth, just one, he can do it, but that's the only guy who I know can do perfect pitch. You know.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. Yeah. But not only that, you have a weekly show that you started with your daughter called Parks Party Central.
Yeah, Parks Party Central.
Yeah, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so when the pandemic started, right, all of us musicians and all of us artists, we had nowhere to go, and it was pretty depressing, like right away. And so a couple weeks in, I turned to her and I was like, hey, Shama, would you be willing to do a show with me on Facebook Live? And she said, yeah. And so we created this variety show that includes music, includes comedy and interactive games. We ended up doing 50 episodes in that first year of the pandemic.
Nice.
And in all, we've done 70 episodes. And I ended up bringing on eventually I brought on musical guests too, and including a Grammy winner. And Joni Leeds was on. So she won a Grammy that year. And I've had some really incredible artists that were on that show too. So, but it was always fun. And I put three of those episodes on YouTube. So, and then I've got some YouTube shorts and some clips. So if anybody wants to check that out, and my daughter ended up writing the theme song for it when she was 5 years old. You know, like when she said, yeah, she would do the show. you know, we were snuggling one day, and I was like, you know, Osama, every show needs a great theme song. Yeah. And here I am, and I'm thinking, here I'm a professional musician, I'll write this theme song. She busts out this song right away, and it was so cool and fun. I'm like, that's it. So if you go listen to the episodes, the three that are on YouTube right now, you'll hear the song, and she wrote it. It was brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah. So not only do you have a talented son, you have a talented daughter, because not many people can write a song in 5 or less minutes. And have you been able to write a song in like 5 minutes or less?
Well, I've written some pretty silly. I've written some pretty silly children's songs. She was 5 years. She's 10 now. She was 5 years old at the time she wrote that, and she wrote it on the spot and was like, wow, that is good. It's catchy. It's fun. So, and we always had a good time. And whenever I would introduce the theme song on the show, I would say, all right, she wrote this. And we had this little funny shtick where she would always end up singing another TV or movie theme song before she got to the one she actually wrote. And I would act all like, what? That's not it. And so she's great singer. And she also plays piano.
Right. Yeah. Cause my sister played piano, but I don't think she plays anymore. So that's awesome that your daughter still does that, you know?
Yeah. In fact, we want to put together a little act and start gigging out in town. So she's starting to learn Beatle tunes and some Stevie Wonder. And like, she's going to be singing and playing piano. I'll sing and play guitar.
Yeah. Since you brought him up, I'm going to ask you the question that I ask most of my guests on the show. Do you prefer Beatles music or Rolling Stones music?
I love both those bands. I really do. But if I had to just pick one, which I do, gotta go Beatles.
That's a common answer on the show, you know.
Yeah.
I've only got 2 Rolling Stones and like 54 Beatles, you know, lovers, you know. But I think Beatles is the Beatles influenced the Stones and countless others, so I don't know. Against Rolling Stones, but I think the Beatles were more influential than the Rolling Stones.
And the Beatles actually wrote a song for the Rolling Stones too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think they did "I Want to Be Your Man." I think they did that one, but they wrote a song for the Stones, and Beatles ended up recording it too. But yeah, check it out. It's an interesting little fact.
Nice. So your bio mentions that you work with children of all ages, of all aspects, right? And their abilities over 30 years. Can you share a particular impactful experience that shaped your approach to this, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of really amazing experience. One, certainly with my own son, would be like the most impactful one, knowing that music, it was a way for him to be able to connect and lower his own anxiety. You know, with him being on the autism spectrum, he's had a lot of challenges in his life. Yeah. And it hasn't always been the easiest thing. But when he sits down at a drum set, it's the great equalizer, right? Yeah. And so him and I have performed at music festivals, and he sits in with my band, and I've got another band that he's the drummer of. And so, and we, you know, I took him to his first Fish concert, and I took him to see Green Day. In terms of my own family, there's certainly just being able to connect with my son and find a place where we both could feel that. And music was such an important thing. As a camp director, you know, every morning I get out my guitar and singing with the staff and with the campers and having a community come together and singing songs joyfully and having people build friendships and connection and joy through music and having them dance together and in all sorts of really just fun ways. So that's been impactful. And I've also have had a number of kids with special needs at my camps that have ended up going like at a talent show, singing and being celebrated and having the whole camp cheer for them and then feeling like full-on champions. So like the ability for music to lift people up and bring people together and forge community, it's incredible. So I've had so many instances of a lot of powerful experiences.
Yeah, music tends to be the most calming out of everything on this planet. Music has a way to black out all the noise, you know.
Yeah, so I also lead meditation groups, and music is part of it. I'll pick up my guitar, and you know, last night I actually had a musical meditation evening, and I work with this amazing vocalist. Her name is Ruby G, and she was actually on The Voice a number of years ago. She's an incredible, incredible singer, and we did an evening of musical meditation. I did a couple of pieces on acoustic guitar, a piece on electric guitar, and then I sat down at the piano and did some, and a lot of the music was improvised, right? Just going on a meditative journey. So, you know, the power of music to also send people into, you know, their own meditations is also quite wonderful.
Right. Yeah. Now, when you got your son drums, did you get him a electric drum kit, or did you go out loud and get him as like a big studio version?
So we ended up, you know, he's 21 now, so he doesn't live with us anymore. But when he was a kid, we ended up getting him like a real acoustic drum set, you know, like a five piece with ride,
everything,
you know, crash, roto toms. Like we decked it out because he was super into Neil Peart and Rush.
And
he was super into The Who and Keith Moon. So he had his favorite drummer. So we got him that. But then eventually we did get him an electric kit. So if you check out Parks and Pals, those six or seven videos we did on YouTube, he's playing the electric kit there. But the kid can play. He's really, really good.
Yeah. So if I had him on the show, and if I asked him who was the better drummer, Bonham or Peart, he would say Peart. Right. That's the second most question I ask the drummers, you know.
You know what, James, I'm gonna ask him. I don't know like what he'd say. I mean, he'd probably say Neil Peart, but I know he also loves John Bonham. Like when he was 7-8 years old, he was already playing Kashmir.
Yes. Well, I think no answer is the wrong answer, because Bonham had the power and the strength behind the drums, you know. Peart had the more creative side of playing the drums, you know, because I've seen he had two drums back to back, and one concert he would spin around and play one spin around. I'm like, dude's insane, dude. Like I you know, it's weird, you know, it's awesome.
I got to see Neil Peart play twice. I saw Rush in LA like in the late 80s, and then I saw them here in San Diego in 2014, and yeah, you know, he was just all three of those musicians. Rush are just incredible.
I heard back then that Rush was a band to go see, you know, in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And I don't know if I think they're gonna come back, right? Maybe.
There's been some rumors. I don't know. I don't know who they would get to play drums, you know, since Neil Peart died. But
which I'm kind of on the fence, because sometimes it works and sometimes it's not as good as it once was. You know.
Because
I don't know if you heard of the band called GWAR, G-W-A-R. You know, they dressed up in like lizard costumes and everything. But their lead singer David Brockie died like a couple of years ago, and to me they just haven't been the same. You know, they got a new singer, you know, that was in the band prior to, you know, but to me they don't really
it's a different sound.
The same punch like they did back then, you know. I don't know, so it's all weird. So I was gonna ask a question, but I forgot, but that's okay. Here we go. Oh, okay. Going back to your writing styles, okay, because I know you write for children and you write for the basic fan, right? So could you tell us, because I've always wanted to know this, because this always intrigues me. Is there a different format when you're writing for kids as opposed to fans like me, more grown up, you know?
Oh, yeah, totally. Okay, yeah. Totally. You know, so I got really into like funk and jazz and soul. And so like the kinds of chords that I would use to write, like when I was in an original band, called Torpedo Betty. Like, that's one of the original bands I was in. Actually, yeah. that album is actually up on Spotify if anybody wants to hear it. You know, a lot of the music that I would write for, you know, for grown-ups, for adults, I'd use a lot of different cool chords, you know, with like flat fifths and sevenths and sharp nines and ninth chords. And kids' music tends to be a little bit more simple on, you know, in terms of the kinds of chords that you're gonna play, you know. And for me, it was interesting with a lot of the songs that I wrote for my the parents and for me, like when I was I would write these songs when I was like, I'd give my kids a bath and I would just start singing. So a lot of those songs for the kids, I didn't even write with a guitar or piano in my hands to start with. Some I did, but most of them were, you know, I was just with my kids and I would start singing with them, like playing Bubbles, and I would start making up a song about Bubbles, you know, or, you know, when it's waking them up in the morning, I would start, you know, wake up, doo, 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 wake up. And I was hearing this bass line. So, you know, the recording that's in my chorus, you hear the full instrumentation, but, you know, I think the melodies and the chords are a little bit simpler with kids' music and certainly with adult music.
Yeah. There was I was going to ask you how has the kids' music you've written in the past affected your own parenting, but I go one step further. When you write songs for kids and children, do you have your own children in mind, or do you write specifically for other parents' kids?
That's a great question, James. Yeah. You know, so the songs that are in the course that I have for parents, I initially just wrote. So some of them I wrote with kids, like at the summer camps that I directed. Like, I have a song called Share and Be Nice, when I was just asking them, I was asking these 4 and 5 year olds, how do we make the world better? Right. And their little hands are shooting up and they're like, share, be nice, share your toys, listen to your friends. I'm like, oh, that's a song.
They're all great questions. Right. And they're all great answers too. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And so I ended up writing, and it became a total anthem at camp, you know, this song, Share and Be Nice. And so that was written with kids. But a lot of the other songs, you know, the hand washing song, or wake up, or I have a song called My Favorite Word Is No, for when my daughter learned the word no, and she used it all the time. And certainly I've got a lullaby for bedtime and a song for bath time and a song for when they're eating bananas to get them to eat healthy. So I realized that after I wrote all those songs, I was like, oh, these aren't just kids' songs. These are actually parenting experiences. Right. And that if parents sing these songs with their kids when they're waking up and when they're getting their bath and when they're washing their hands and for bedtime, that, and they sing them ritualistically, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to have such a joyful experience raising their kids. So,
and create music memories like we talked about before.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And great childhood memories. Right. So I think, though I didn't write these songs with other parents in mind, after I wrote them, I realized, oh my gosh, this would be great for other parents to sing to their kids so they can experience the joy and connection that I have with my kids. I want others to have this. And not everybody is a professional musician. Not everybody can write everybody will write their own songs. And so here they are, and they're easy, and they're catchy songs, right? You mentioned like the Hamilton song. So if parents learn these songs, and again, if they buy the course, they're gonna get lyric sheet and they're gonna get connection tips on how you use these songs. Like, it's all right there, and it's guaranteed. Like, you know, if they go to parentingharmony.com, they'll get Dancing on Daddy's or Mommy's Shoulders.
Yes.
And you hoist your kid up on your shoulders, or, you know, or in your arms, and you do this song every day for a few years, like, your kid's just going to remember, like, wow, so fun hanging with my mom or hanging with my dad. And we would dance, we would sing together.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you a funny thing that I learned something from this song that you wrote called Bananas. I forgot that bananas was a fruit. I don't know what I thought it was, you know? So thank you for teaching me something brand new again, because I've heard that back in the past, but I just turned 45 and I'm still like, what? Bananas are fruit? You gotta be kidding me, man. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing too, James. Like, these songs are also educational. So. You know, there is one song that I wrote called Give and Get that's in the chorus that I did write specifically for my son. Given that, you know, he's on the autism spectrum, sometimes it's been hard for him to make friends, and people haven't always been super kind to him. And I realized, you know what, I want to write a song that is going to hopefully have people learn how to be more compassionate, more generous, more sweet, more kind. And so I wrote the song called Give and Get. And it really also, you know, the chorus, give and get that high five, give and get a smile, give and get a listening ear, give and get in your own style. Knowing that we all are going to dance in our own ways. We all have special needs, all of us.
Yeah.
You know, some of us need to have, you know, nut allergies. Some of us need more sleep than others. Some of us are sensitive to loud sounds. Like, that, we all have something. And, you know, if we can use music as a force for building a more compassionate world too, that's another part of music and the force and power of music to do good in this world.
Yeah. Going back to your son again, I just thought of this question. Did you know that he had autism before he was born or after he was born? Because to be honest with you, I don't know if I told you that I'm handicapped myself with the cerebral palsy, you know. I came out wrong, and that's when I had CP. Were you prepared for your son having autism, or did you find out later, down the road?
Yeah, first of all, James, thank you for telling me that. And it's interesting what you just said. You just used the phrase that you came out wrong. And I would say you came out perfect.
Thank you. Well, maybe that was the bad choice of words. But when I was born, I couldn't get enough air, and that caused me brain damage. And that's why I have CP right now. So
yeah.
I did come out wrong, but I didn't come out like every other, you know, person alive.
I hear you. I just, like, words are really powerful.
Oh yeah.
And as a musician and songwriter, knowing how powerful words are, I'm like you did not come out wrong. You came out just perfectly, and you're like, you're amazing. With, you know, did your parents know? Well, no, because
no. So when I was born, like I said, I couldn't get the air, right? And I wasn't crying, you know, because I know when babies come out, they cry, you know. Yeah. So, but when the nurse took me, like, she noticed I was turning blue. That was bad, you know. That was horrific, you know. So the nurse did what she did, you know. And if it wasn't for her, you know, I probably wouldn't be here right now talking to you. They knew a little bit after I was born, because I couldn't do certain stuff. And my mom decided to take me to the doctor and get me looked over, I guess you would call it. And that's how they knew. So my mom was not prepared at all for, you know, for this journey that me and her went on together. My dad, too.
Yeah, they did a great job, James.
Thank you. You're
incredible, you know. And with my son, with Jonah, there's no test to know if your kid is going to be autistic before. So it was around maybe 13, 14 months that my wife started feeling like something was a little bit off. You know, other kids that age all had words, and my son didn't have any words at all.
That's kind of like me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got diagnosed as at risk for autism when he was probably around 16, 17 months old. And, you know, he wasn't playing with toys the way other kids play with toys. And then, you know, he wasn't really playing with other kids the way other kids were playing with each other. And so it was a scary time, because, you know, I didn't know if I'd ever hear my boy say the word daddy or hear him say, I love you. And so it wasn't until after he was well over the age of two that he started getting his first words. But again, he had melodies, you know, and so I know that music's always been a really important thing for him. And I, you know, I was always playing music for him from the day he was born.
Yeah,
like, I was always playing music in the house. And in fact, this is an incredible story. Like, talk about the power of music. When my son was an infant, like really a toddler, we brought him home from the hospital. whenever he would cry, there was one magical song that whenever I would play it, he would hear it. I'd hold him in my arms. I'd dance with him. He would instantly calm down. And that was a Stevie Wonder song called Love Having You Around.
Nice, yeah.
It's a great song. And it always, always, always calmed him down. And it's funny because we'd put on other songs and it wouldn't necessarily do that. But that song, like whatever that beat and that melody and that rhythm, it just worked for him. And so music has always been a really great source of power in terms of my relationship with my boy from really the day he was born.
It's funny, yeah, you say that because some songs are, you connect with certain songs throughout your life, you know. And that's one of the questions I'll ask for you in just a minute, because we always ask the question too. But I guess, so thank you, Stevie Wonder, for that, you know, because that saves you many crying times, right? Yeah. So we do have three more questions for you, if you don't mind, sir.
First question is,
we're going back in the time machine to where you were 16, 17, 18, or 15, you know, way back when. Uh-huh. I'm not sure how old you are, but you look great, you know?
Thanks.
So if Craig was on his bed looking around the room, what posters on the wall would we see musically, you know?
Musically, you would see a poster of The Who with Pete Townsend in full midair, legs spread, and like playing his guitar.
Yeah.
You would also see a poster of Jimi Hendrix from probably the Monterey Pop Festival.
Okay.
And you would see a psychedelic poster of the Beatles.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. Then you'd see a huge poster of Paul Simon's One Trick Pony, because I got that from a record store. They gave me a huge poster when his movie came out. So that was kind of cool too. So those are some of the posters you would see.
Paul Simon, man. I remember watching the video of that one with Chevy Chase. I'm not sure what the song is called.
You can call me out.
Yes, but I can't get that out of my head right now. Yeah, so that brings up a good memory too, you know. Sitting around the house watching MTV with my sister, you know, that brings a lot of memories back, you know, just, you know, coming home from school that day, you know, you didn't like your teacher and you sat down and listened to music and everything went away, you know. It's great.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about my first grade year, and I don't remember a lot about first grade, but one of the things I do remember about it was my first grade teacher at the end of every day would sing the same song. And all these years later, I still remember it.
Oh.
And yeah, it's goodbye, everybody. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Goodbye, everybody. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, my darlings. And so that also clued me in, like, wow, if you sing a song over and over every day, and this is what I want parents to get too, like, if you sing music every day with your kid during these everyday moments, they are going to remember it. There's no way they're not. And so that's why I'm excited that I finally recorded these songs and recorded this course to teach parents how to have their parenting journey be filled with so much joy and connection with their kids using music as a source.
Right. Yeah. It's so awesome that you said that with the melody, because I remember having trouble spelling the word bicycle. Okay. And my aunt, Barbara, she said, well, why don't you just put it in the melody? B-I-C-Y-C-L-E. And I'm like, that's it, dude. So I'll never misspell that word again as long as I live. That's so great that you said that, and I connected with that too, you know?
That's awesome. That's what a great, yeah, like that's the power of music. And there's nothing else that's like that. Like, music, it just holds a special place. Like, it's beyond words, you know?
It does. Two more questions. And okay, so these are going to be the two of the hardest questions I've asked for you today. Are you ready? Yes, right?
Let's do it.
Perfect. Mount Rushmore, you got four of them. Who is your top four favorite bands or artists?
Okay.
It's hard.
that is really hard. Okay. Tedeschi Trucks Band.
Okay.
Fish.
Great band.
Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals.
Okay, I gotta write these down because I never heard of that band.
Oh yeah, Ben Harper's incredible. He's been around a while. He's great. And I'll go with Stevie Wonder.
You can't go wrong with Stevie now, you know?
Right?
Well, right, yeah. It's, I mean, he did Calm Down Your Son, so we got to thank him for that too, you know? Yes, you know? So, okay. Last question is going to be the hardest question before, and I mentioned this question earlier before about connecting with music, you know? So this podcast is called When Words Fail, Music Speaks, you know, and that can't be further from the truth. We all know that works, you know? Is there one song, artist, or album that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, your wife, your son, your daughter, or your friends how it makes you feel deep inside your soul? You connect with it. Like, you know, that song is yours and yours alone. Because remember when we said that Stevie Wonder connected with the song? He connected with that, but who is your Stevie Wonder per se, you know?
Yeah. One of the songs that I would dance to with my daughter when she was really young, I know we've talked about Paul Simon. There's Bridge Over Troubled Water is the song that I would dance with her almost every day. And there's something about that song that's so touching and so deep and so beautiful. And being able to sing that song to my little girl and holding her and dancing with her, letting her know that, like, she's not alone in the world. Yeah. You know, part of me, like, thinks about, you know, if I'm lucky enough to be at her wedding, you know, that like, the daddy-daughter dance, like, that would be a beautiful thing just to... Like that's a really deep, beautiful, amazing tune that hits my soul.
Yeah. Well, that's great because that's likely what I wanted because you could have gave me any answer and any answer would be right, you know? Because music for me, I have certain songs that I cry vigorously, you know, because it touches my soul deep inside, you know, and I'm not sure you probably have those certain songs sometimes too, right?
Yeah, you know, Peter Gabriel has some of those songs.
Yes, he does, yeah.
Bring me to tears, yeah. I mean, that's another artist who's just incredible. Yeah, yeah, that whole album, the Us album, I don't know if you've ever heard that one, but that album, check that thing out. That is deep, deep, and really amazing.
Okay. Oh, I'll check it out after this podcast. Yes, I got new music. I love it, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to give you some shout-outs. You can visit Craig Parks at parentingharmony.com. You can find everything there. And he does have a LinkedIn, so I'm going to link the LinkedIn at the bottom of this description on the episode. And you can also find him on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. We're back on TikTok, right? And Facebook. So you can contact him anytime you want to and check out his music. Oh, and speaking of that, do we have any music coming out sometime soon?
Well, I just released this course, which has these 14 songs. Okay. Has these 14 songs. You know, if you want to check out kind of the rock and roll side of me, you can check out Torpedo Betty, a band that isn't together anymore, but you want to just hear some of what I was up to.
Right.
I'm also in a cover band called Mojo Strut. So anybody in the San Diego area.
I love that band name.
you can check us out on Instagram and Facebook, Mojo Strut. I got an incredible lead female vocalist. Her name is Jamie, and we're a quartet, and we get people up and dancing and rocking. So Mojo Strut on Spotify, again, Torpedo Betty or Craig Parks for my kids, a couple of my kids' music, like the Bananas song and Hand Washing song.
Yeah.
So, and then on YouTube, if you want to see my son play drums when he was younger, Parks and Pals. And then if you want to see my daughter singing that theme song and us being goofy and silly, that's Parks Party Central. So a lot of different ways. And if, And James, I want to offer your listeners, if there's any parents out there that really want this course, there's both a membership way of getting it. So it's just a little bit per month, or if they want to get the whole thing, I will give them $100 off if they email me at craigparks@parentingharmony.com and say they heard this through your podcast.
Nice. Yes.
I'll give them $100 off the course.
Well, thank you, sir. That means a lot. Yeah. Cause I know that times are tough, but when it comes to music, I mean, there's nothing like it, you know? And I think that you are doing a great thing for parenting. You know, I wish my mom would have met you a long time ago until now, you know? Yeah. Aww. So thank you for coming on, sir. And we honestly do thank you for coming back. Come back on anytime you want to, you know, maybe we can work in some kind of form or fashion later on. I don't know. I'm just, you know, thinking about, you know, stuff we can do later on. But I'm going to give you my number and hopefully we can keep in contact. All right.
That'd be great, James. Yeah. It's been such a pleasure. You are doing great work. I'm really touched by who you are and really shining a light on the power of music. Really appreciate it a lot as a musician and as a songwriter. You're incredible.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And with that said, thank you everybody for watching and listening to this episode. And always remember, when words fail, music speaks. Hi, guys.